Father God in heaven, you are so good, so gracious, so loving, so merciful, in sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to us. And for him, we give great thanks. We pray for this passage before us, that the Holy Spirit that proceeds from you and from the Son will open our eyes to see Jesus. Give us ears to hear these words. Implant within us, root in us, as the text says, your truths, that we may live lives that reflect yours for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So every week, I know Pastor Jake goes through the same thing. You have a little routine when you're doing a sermon, and you're studying, you're reading, maybe looking at the Greek, various things. But one of the things you have to do at some point in time is come up with a sermon title. And sometimes the creative juices are flowing rather well, other times it's not. And so this week, you see in your bulletin, Walk of Life, that's the replacement. The one that I was thinking of was Walk This Way. And then it dawned on me, Walk This Way is Aerosmith, Steven Tyler. I'm more of a Dire Straits guy, so Martin Loeffler and the Walk of Life. You know, we love baseball. We should have a walk-up song when we come up to the pulpit. Well, in all seriousness, let's get into this passage that is before us this morning. John Woodhouse speaks of an old saying within Christian circles. And he says this: what is taken for granted in one generation likely will be ignored in the next and denied in the third. Let me say that again. What is taken for granted in one generation will likely be ignored in the next and denied in the third. That's weighty when you think about it. Now, what is it in Christianity that would be taken for granted? Certainly not a truth like justification by faith. I mean, we speak about that all the time. Other doctrines that are true, we'll talk about grace all the time. We'll talk about forgiveness of sin. There's a lot of things that we don't take for granted. Our liturgy that we do week by week is to help us remember. Paul wrote in his epistle to Timothy, remember Christ Jesus, risen from the dead, the Son of David. We are to remember Christ and all those things. But sometimes what we take for granted might be something that was emphasized in a previous generation. And so we back off of that a little bit and then we come back to it. But Woodhouse is going in a direction here. In his ministry experience of multiple years, he has found that there is something in his experience in ministry that is taken for granted. And that is the Christian life. The Christian life. We will say and talk a lot about making disciples, about evangelizing and witnessing and bringing people in, and then we'll look once they come into the family of God to quickly get them to volunteer in some activity, something that they can serve others within the body of Christ. And we'll do that. And yet, we take for granted at times the Christian life. But we'll find from our text this morning that just as we have received Christ at one particular point in time, we are to walk in Him. We're to grow. We're to understand Him. We're to be established in the faith. Some of the key words that come out of our text this morning. So the Christian life is really of Christian growth, of Christian maturity, the Christian walk, the course of our life. Maybe that should be a study that we teach instead of just teaching someone how to share their faith, teaching the course of the Christian life. Well, the Christian life, John Woodhouse says, does not take care of itself. It's an activity. It's an action on our part. We get involved in it. And so if we think that we can just come in on Sunday and sit listen to a message such as this, and then go our merry way during the week and not do anything else. No prayer, no reading of Scripture, no devotion. We think, well, I'm being spoon-fed on Sundays. That'll take care of everything. Woodhouse says, no, it won't. He said, if more people within the church, and he's speaking from his experience, if more people in the church got on with the business of growing in the Christian life, that a lot of the problems that he sees pastorally in ministry would begin to diminish. Marital issues, problems with raising children, wayward sons and daughters. Some of these things, if they would have been living the Christian life, doesn't exempt them from having these types of problems. However, it does mitigate them because you are living what you say you believe. We are going through a process of mission and vision. And we chose Colossians because it speaks a lot to the vision of the church. The mission is easy. The mission is Matthew 28. Make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all I have commanded you, the Christian life. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so that's the mission of the church. The vision is then, how do we do this? How do we do this? And this group of individuals that I've pulled together, we calling ourselves the Vine Team because we're looking at the Vine Project, the book, that is simply a biblical view of God's vision for humanity. And so one of the first exercises that we had to do was called Sharpen Your Convictions. Sharpen Your Convictions. And it had a list of five things. And you look at the list of five things and you would say, yeah, I believe that. But the sharpening of the conviction says, what you believe, is your life practice really reflective of that? Do you believe in making disciples? All of us are like, yes, we believe in making disciples. But do you do that? So how is it that you can say one thing but behave in another manner? Paul is trying to get to that point here. These two verses in Colossians are the theme verse for the entire book. The theme verse for the entire book. This is starting the body of the letter here in chapter 2. He's had a long introduction, and in that introduction he has talked about many things. Three big things that he has talked about. One is the work of the gospel there in chapter 1. He says that what Epaphras brought to you is increasing in you. It's bearing fruit in you just as it is in all the world. This supernatural work of Christ crucified, died and buried and risen again is spreading and it's changing lives. It's point number one that he makes in the introduction. This big idea of the gospel. The second one is Christ. His preeminence. He is the creator. And he is the redeemer. All things are subject to him. All things were created by him, through him, and for him. And without him, nothing was made that was made, John says in his gospel. And so there's the big idea of Christ's preeminence, the gospel, purpose. And then Paul's other, the third thing that he mentions is his ministry. And he calls himself a servant. He's doing the work of ministry. He's revealing this mystery, which is the gospel itself. So there's your three big ideas in the introduction. Embedded in that, there is a prayer. That prayer that Paul has is what every believer needs to pray for themselves and pray for one another to live out these two verses. And so it is to come to a knowledge of God, to walk in a manner worthy, fully pleasing to Him, and to be strengthened by the power of God. So we have 3 points this morning. The first one's a little bit longer than the second two. So once we get through the first one, you'll think, okay, the plane's going to land pretty quick now. So here's 3 points. Christian living, Christian growing, and Christian understanding. Christian living, Christian growing, and Christian understanding. Each one of these points deal with phrases in this particular text. The first, Christian living. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. That deals with Christian living. Second, rooted and built up in Him. Second point, Christian growing. And then third, established in the faith just as you were taught. And I'll have some closing remarks that'll cover the Thanksgiving. So that's Christian understanding. So these 3 points, we want to dive into these. As I said, we want to be like this vine team where what we say we believe is what we practice. Faith and practice, doctrine and duty, conviction and conduct. Those are some of the things that we will see in our text today. And so we want to look into this text this morning. It begins with the word therefore. And this is a big word for us. Therefore, in the Greek, it's just 3 letters. And so therefore is something that we have to look, why is it there? Now, it's there because of what has been said in this long introduction from verse 3 in chapter 1 through verse 5 in chapter 2. Those things that I've already talked about. And the big ideas that are coming forward, and I've told you this before in previous messages, that 3 things we want to get out of Colossians is the preeminence of Christ, the purpose of God, and our participation in His purpose. So 3 things, preeminence, purpose, and participation. And so this therefore says, okay, everything that's led up to this point, now let's look to begin to put it into practice. Now, not everything does he expand in these 2 verses. This is like the theme verse, like I said, going forward. We're going to see a lot more, particularly when it comes to the walk, the Christian walk, will come in chapter 3. And so this, the idea of therefore, is everything that's gone before. And Paul says, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. This first word that we want to take a look at is received. We have a connotation today of what we think receive means. If you're like me, you spent some time in a Baptist church, and at the end of the service, there would be a song of invitation. There would be an altar call. Come forward and receive Christ. Pray this sinner's prayer. I did that in 1979. First Baptist church downtown. I didn't know what I was doing. I wasn't convicted. I followed my father and mother and my younger brother. They knew what they were doing. I was kind of along for the ride. But I had received Christ. I had prayed that prayer. Therefore, I was a Christian. But the things that Paul talks about in this text were not true of my life. I didn't look to grow. I didn't look to understand. I didn't look to walk in a manner worthy of my calling. Not until some 10 years later. And I've shared before, studying Sermon on the Mount. I was with Levi Strauss and Sales, and we had a meeting in Florida at the Doral Country Club. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And as I've said many a time before, I stopped. I said, this does not describe me. Lord, don't leave me in this place. That was my prayer. I didn't even know what to pray. And so Paul is trying to say, just as you received. He goes in great detail throughout his epistles. And talking about what he has received. When we do the Lord's Supper, if we use 1 Corinthians chapter 11. What I received from the Lord, I delivered to you. 1 Corinthians 15, when he's talking about the gospel. He says, now I would remind you, brothers, the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to what I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain, for I delivered to you of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Several other passages throughout the New Testament, he talks about what he received. He received from the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about being in Arabia for 3 years and learning. That's what he received. So what he has delivered to the Colossians church through Epaphras, his delegate that heard Paul preach the gospel in Ephesus and went back to Colossae, he preached the good news of Jesus Christ. And what he had received from Paul. What we have in the New Testament is all that, at least in the Pauline epistles, is all that Paul received. He has elaborated. There was an oral tradition here. And so I would be, if we were in that day and age, and I was preaching the gospel, I would be preaching to you and then teaching you all the things of Christ. That's what you receive. Now, it doesn't take away the fact that you receive the gift of salvation by faith. You do individually do that. But the content of what was received is all of who Jesus is. And that's what follows this idea of received. Because in the text there it says, Christ Jesus the Lord. This is his expansion of what you receive. The text actually in the Greek says, the Christ, Jesus, the Lord. Three names for Christ. Three names for Jesus. Three names for our Lord. And so if you begin to think about the Christ and what Scripture teaches about the Christ, the Messiah, that promise goes all the way back to Genesis 3:15. That the serpent would get the heel, but its head would be crushed. And it begins there. It talks about the coming of a Messiah, the promises of the covenant that is given to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to David, and so on. That God would place a king on his throne, a man after God's own heart. This is the Messiah. Isaiah spends 16 chapters, chapters 40 through 55, about this suffering servant who is the Messiah. When Jesus is on the Damascus road, on the road to Emmaus, and he is talking to two people that are moaning about Jesus' death, and he begins to illumine their hearts and their minds, and he says, beginning with Moses, he began to tell them all the things that were to come to pass about him, Jesus. Then he broke bread, revealed himself to them, and what does it say? Didn't our hearts burn within us? So when we receive Christ, we know him as Messiah. Then we know him as Jesus. Jesus is the Greek name for Joshua. God saves. Salvation is of the Lord. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Jesus. He's the Savior. It also speaks of his humanity. And then it speaks about him, the Lord. Kurios is the Greek that's used there. And in this particular text, it when it says Lord, it means Yahweh. Jesus and God are one. So his humanity, his divinity, his anointing as the Messiah, that's who Jesus is. That's what we receive through his life, through his death, through his burial, through his resurrection and ascension. Now that's compacted in that first phrase in this clause. And then it says, so walk in him. Just as you received him, so walk. The same way you received him, you were to walk in him. It's not this idea that we get of, okay, my biggest problem, if I don't know Jesus, is sin. Amen? Sin is the problem that we have. Jesus has met our biggest need. Through faith in him, we are delivered. Paul says earlier in chapter 1, we are transferred out of the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. And so that happens to us. But as Woodhouse says, the Christian life just doesn't happen on its own. It's not that I receive him, believe, and then do nothing. We are to live a life that reflects Jesus. What did he do? Mark's gospel is very clear. You read Mark's gospel, the shortest of all the gospels, and you will see this word immediately, over and over and over and over again. But if you look at Mark's gospel, Jesus is there to preach the gospel, to go from place to place to place and share the gospel, to tell them about the Son of God, to tell them about the kingdom of God. And so what we receive, we are to live out. We are to walk that way because Jesus is Lord. He has done all things to show himself that way in the Gospels, casting out demons, healing lepers, the blind, the lame, the deaf, the dumb, all authority, calms the wind and the waves, cleanses the temple, has authority in all these things. So he is our Lord. We're to walk in him. As I said, chapter 3 is going to talk more about what it means to walk in him. But I do want to touch upon a couple of things here. This gospel that came to them was not only to be received, but it was to be lived out. And to live it out, they were to bear fruit. They were to increase in their knowledge of God. They were to be strengthened in all power according to his glorious might. Why? Because what we're going to see throughout chapter 2 is at least 4 warnings. That you can be deceived, that you can be captivated. Different warnings. But if you are walking in Christ, if you're growing in Christ, if you're understanding in Christ, as those things come up to you, you'll be able to identify them and push back. You'll be the light in darkness. So as we received him, we're to walk in him. Spurgeon says, we not only received him, but we grasped him. We took hold of him, and we wouldn't let go. We became Christ's, and he became ours. There is a relationship that's formed there, a relationship that is not to be dissolved, not to wane. Spurgeon goes on to say that this idea of walk implies action. It implies perseverance. It implies continuance. It implies progress. And it implies communion. Should make you think about John 15. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Abiding. We receive him, we're to walk in him. If I can talk for just a moment. For those who are married, do you remember when you first met your spouse? Do you remember? I can't look in that direction. I'll never get through this. March 17th, 1979. St. Patrick's Day, working at the Target at Parker in 75. Here comes this girl walking down the aisle. It's closing time. I'm working the door. She's got green slacks on, green and white stripe, blouse, and a rabbit coat. And I thought, man, wow. Open the door. Guy skipped there. Says, I'll walk her out. And walks her out, and I'm just watching. She's going out to the far edge of the parking lot to get in the car. I thought, wow. Skip comes back. I go, who is that? She says, that's Gayla Searcy. Really? Yeah, she goes to Plano High School with me. I got up courage a few weeks later to ask her out. And the first time I asked her out, she said, no, I have something. I thought, oh. But you could ask me again. So I did. We started dating. Dated for 5 years. And we got married. I couldn't think of much of anything else. Not an hour would go by that I wouldn't think of Gayla. I would still work. I would still do things. But that refreshed memory over and over and over again. That's what Paul is saying here. So walk in him. Do you remember the joy of your salvation? Do you remember what Christ did for you when you came to him? How you were changed. You were a new creation. You are no longer the old man. You are the new man in Christ Jesus. That's what he's getting to. You walk in him, you know who he is. An infinite Savior, an infinite Lord, which requires a lot of feeding for you, which we get into that second point here. As you were rooted and built up. So as I met Gayla, I began to get to know her, more about her. Paul says here of those Colossians that came to know God, here's something fundamental. You were rooted. That's in the perfect tense, and it's passive, meaning you didn't root yourself. You didn't do this. When we talk about the gospel, we will talk about the work of the Father who elects you before the foundation of the world. We'll talk about the Son, Jesus Christ, who redeemed you by the blood of his cross. And we'll talk about the Holy Spirit who brings forth new life. We call it the new birth. We call it regeneration. You can see Ezekiel 36. You can see Jeremiah 31 that talks about a radical change done by the Holy Spirit before you ever hear the gospel. You are given a new heart. And you are given the ability, the gift to respond to the gospel and believe. You are rooted in Christ Jesus. So when that gospel comes and that new birth has happened to you, you go, yes, I want this. I receive it. I believe it. And so you're rooted. Now you need to be built up. Should be more like building up, because it's a participle. Participles are an ing word. My wife loves it when I speak grammar, because I never learned grammar. All right, being built up, building. When I was young, my father would show us a lot of different things. How to work on cars, how to mow the yard, how to do a lot of varying things. And so one time we were in Stockton, California, and I was in high school, and he decided that he was going to build a retaining wall for plants. The first thing that he did is he laid a foundation of concrete, and he went down deep so it wouldn't shift and move. And there was rebar, there was structure within it that would keep it and make it immovable. And then he took the bricks, and he made the mortar, and he's showing me this along the way. And you take the mortar, and you put it on the brick, and you put the brick down. You put it on three sides. The mortar goes on three sides. Not the top yet, three sides. And then you'd take another brick and you'd put it next to that one. And then as you built up on it, you'd lay the bricks kind of off center. You wouldn't put them one on top of the other because it weakens the structure. And so I'm watching this and learning from him, and then he allows me to do it. And it's strong. It stands. It doesn't move. And it fulfills its purpose. It held the dirt in there so that the watering of the plants, they would grow. And this, not bear fruit, but make flowers. And so I say that because Paul talks about in Ephesians that Christ is the foundation, the chief cornerstone. And then the bricks, the doctrines of the faith, are built upon the apostles and the prophets. They have received the revelation from God and they give it to us, these bricks. And then Paul is saying, you walk this way, you're rooted in him, now build up your own life. And so we rest upon this foundation. And we take the teachings of Scripture, and then we make our mortar, prayer, and we put it on. And we begin to build this strong building. Now, we can do that individually, but we're also supposed to do it corporately. We're to build one another up in the faith. We are all living stones being built up into the body of Christ, the temple of God. So we build up one another. And how do we build up? What they received from Paul through Epaphras, the gospel, we speak it to one another. In chapter 3, we're going to hear about speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, praying for one another, giving thanks, speaking the gospel to one another. And when we do that, then we can speak it to others. We'll become confident in the faith. So we want to be built up. We want to grow spiritually. This is Christian growth. Remembering who Christ is, who we received, that we are rooted in him, and then we build ourselves up in the most holy faith. We do it in a variety of ways, and we'll see more about that as this comes about. Let's talk briefly about Christian understanding. Paul says, as you were taught, just as you were taught, established in the faith, just as you were taught. This idea of being established in the faith is a summons to bring you to deeper understanding in who Christ is. And that understanding comes through a knowledge of him. This was his prayer back in chapter 1, Paul's prayer for the Colossians church and also for us. Faith here is everything that Paul has taught. It is the truth of the gospel. And it establishes us in our faith. Not just learning, but learning for a purpose. As we learn, we begin to apply what we've learned. We educate children. We educate children. Now, some kids will go, why do we educate children? See kids going home saying, the pastor said, why do we educate children? We do so because it's the things that they need for life. We teach mathematics. We teach science. We teach English. We teach these courses so that they can live. They can live it out. Numbers are from God. Language is from God. Science is from God. But in a spiritual way, we learn Christ to live it out. We learn the course of the Christian life through Scripture, through the Holy Spirit, through prayer, through fellowship with one another. And in doing so, we learn for a purpose. We want to know our purpose. That'll be the vision for our church as we're going forward and getting more out of this. So Christian understanding is growing in our purpose. Well, let me close with some concluding remarks. I told you the points after number one were going to be shorter. Paul goes into giving thanks. This is a Christian response. Spurgeon says, when we received Christ and walk in Him, when we are rooted and being built up in Christ, when we are established as we were taught in Christ, we not only bear fruit and are increasing, but we break forth in doxology, in thanksgiving, in worship. As he gives this theme verse for the Christians, and he says, you've received Christ, now walk in Him. How do I walk in Him? I'm going to be rooted. I'm going to be built up. I'm going to grow in Christian life. I'm going to come to an understanding of how to appropriate the things that I'm taught into the faith and live it out. And then I'm going to look to give thanks to God, to be joyful, to worship, to serve Him. Abounding in thanksgiving. This is a regular occurrence. Paul says in Romans 11, 33 through 36, oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, how inscrutable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor, or who has given a gift to Him that He might be repaid? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever and ever. Our lives should be such that we live with joy, the joy of our salvation, every day of our lives, just as we remember the day we met our spouses. We don't want to take our spouses for granted. We want to remember the wife of our youth or the husband of our youth. Foster, cultivate that relationship. We want to do the same thing with Jesus. We want to commune with Him. We want to think about Him. We want to learn Him and serve Him all the days of our lives. Let us pray. Father, we do pray for these three things in our lives. For our Christian life and living, our walk, for Christian growth and Christian understanding. Lord, may through this process, may we see You more clearly. May we love You more dearly. And to follow You more nearly day by day. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.